welcome to another episode of the Tracklist podcast show. I am Darren Jenkins.
And I'm Chris Saunders.
And returning to the fold of the podcast, action actor, martial artist, and movement director, Emiko Ishii. What's going on?
Hello. Thank you so much for having me back. It's great to be back, you know.
I'm looking forward to talking to you. Like I said, there's a lot of stuff you're doing, so we'll chop it up and hear what you're doing. But
and when you recommend movies like this,
oh yeah,
pleasure to have you back.
Then you can come back anytime you like.
You're hitting the soft spot here for me because you've got all great films that I get to chat about. I'm excited.
Yeah, so on the show today, we're doing the 1998 film Rush Hour, The Fastest Hands in the East Meet the Biggest Mouth in the West, directed by Brett Ratner, starring Jackie Chan and Chris Tucker, and a host of other people who we are going to mention in this show because there are a lot of good people in this film. Mm-hmm. Synopsis for this: when Hong Kong Inspector Lee is summoned to Los Angeles to investigate a kidnapping, the FBI doesn't want any outside help and assigns cocky LAPD detective James Carter to distract Lee from the case. Not content to watch the action from the sidelines, Lee and Carter form an unlikely partnership and investigate the case themselves. Directed by Brett Ratner. This movie was budgeted around $33 million and ended up with a worldwide gross of $245.3 million. Pretty good turnaround. Pretty good.
Pretty good. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, this is probably one of my most watched films in life.
Yeah.
I mean, Jackie Chan, obviously off the bat, huge fan. Mm. Chris Tucker, this pretty much made him, right? Like this series of films.
This was his second film, I think. So
we had Friday.
Yeah.
Which I love. But for the three Rush Hour films, he made $43 million.
He was one time the highest paid actor in Hollywood.
Which is insane.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a good choice, actually.
Mm.
I think someone else was having this role at one point, isn't it?
Well, apparently, I was listening to this podcast, and one of the cast members was talking about the fact that this film was kind of a groundbreaking film because it was one of the first times we'd ever had a Black and Asian lead character. Mm. In a role of a film like this, so, especially on a budget like this. So kudos to Hollywood.
Yeah.
It was apparently the highest grossing martial arts film at the time.
Really?
Which is crazy. That's what IMDb told me.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm not surprised because you haven't seen anything like that prior to that. And it is a really good combo. And I think even with Jackie Chan, he is pretty much, I think during that time also was probably one of the most well-known actors, well, Chinese mm-hmm. actor of all time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've
seen so many.
I mean, so. you mentioned like, so Enter the Dragon does have Bruce Lee and I forget what the Black actor's name is. He's not a lead, right? He's not co-leading. There you go. He's not a co-lead, but you know, there's a situation where we had Asian and Black actors, you know, kind of working together. But this is like,
Jackie Chan's in that movie.
Yeah.
Yes, he is. He's an extra. He's one of the bad guys, right? Which is amazing. But this gets 7 out of 10 on IMDb. Rotten Tomatoes, the critics gave it 62%.
And the audience, what is wrong with these people?
Audience gave it 78%. So it's getting towards... It's in that realm where you have that disparity between the critics and the audience, where it's becoming like a cult, almost a cult classic, where there's just fans of the film.
Yeah, this is definitely a cult classic, and I feel like it is just simply because of Jackie Chan, because Chan to me has been he's kind of like one of the most underestimated actors in or outside of Hollywood because of just how much he does on each film. It's just, he's like, I think Tom Cruise must model himself after him, after Jackie Chan.
I was about to say, who's the better actor / stunt per, like, person that does their own stunts?
Ooh, gosh, that's a tough. I do like Tom Cruise, but of course, Jackie Chan, I grew up with him, mm-hmm. and he's just, but it's also the comedic aspect of it, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
We talked about Buster Keaton, like, last time we spoke, but he's pretty much encapsulates all of that. I think he was inspired by that too. And it's the fact that, you know, Bruce Lee times, and of course, he had Summer Hung, you know, Jackie Chan just, you know, really entertained people with his sheer skill, but just that comedy, it's just entertaining. And he brings that into this in a different context as well. You can see his skill set.
It's already enough that, you know, you're doing a choreography for these fight scenes, you know, you're fighting, and just like the ability to like act, fight, mm-hmm. and then throw in these comedic, like, these looks and moves and everything is, he's doing so much. It's unbelievable.
He's smart too, because he, as an actor, like when he first came on the scene, I mean, there were a lot of, you know, it was more like the traditional martial art films. And so he had kind of competition from Gordon Liu and from Bruce Lee and from, you know, from pretty much anybody on the Shaw Brothers roster, you know what I mean? And he understood that he needed to do something different in order to kind of separate himself from those traditional martial art films. And for him to go and think comedy was the thing to do, I think that was, I mean, like, if he didn't have that element, I don't think he's the actor we see him to be today, to be honest.
Yeah, I totally agree with that, because he's been in Bruce Lee films, like two Bruce Lee films, hasn't it? Like Fist of Fury and Enter the Dragon, and he was a stunt double for those. So he's also learned from Bruce Lee. But yeah, Bruce Lee was a different category. He had a different sentiment altogether and presence on film. So you're absolutely right. I feel Jackie Chan brought a different element of martial arts into it.
There's no comedy in Bruce Lee's work. Let's put that way. Exactly. But I mean, this is absolutely classic Jackie Chan. And I want to ask the question off the bat, where does this stand in, where does this film stand in your ranking of like just his performances? And I'll just kick it off by saying, I love, you know, that OG Police Story.
Yep.
Rumble in the Bronx is a personal favorite because New York. And I actually love Who Am I? I don't know if you've all seen that one.
That's a good one too. Yeah.
Just the fight scenes and choreography. So I don't know, for you guys, what's out there?
I'm gonna let her go because
Oh, Drunken Master. Can't forget that.
Oh, Drunken Master, yeah.
Yeah, you can't. That, I was just going to say, that was pretty much the film that I grew up and I've watched hundreds of times. And it's actually available, I think, on Netflix or Prime or something, one of those. But yeah, I think with Jackie Chan, I mean, Drunken Master, hands down, incredible, because that is the traditional martial arts and wushu and the whole Drunken Master style, which was then taken into, I think, Forbidden Kingdom, which he brought in. That, but then, you know, Rush Hour, it's just because it's that combo of Chris Tucker as well. He's made it so accessible for everyone. You know, you don't have to be a martial arts lover to understand like how he translates his movement to the screen and the story. So it's not just a fighting film anymore. It's interweaved into the actual drama. And I think a lot of the times, you know, martial arts films tend to focus on the martial arts, which quite rightly so, and I love it. But it is, you know, having that balance of the story, the role, the character, plus interweave with the action, and his way of storytelling through action, using the props around him as well. That's what makes this Rush Hour, I think, such a success.
Have you been able to do that in your career?
Using the, absolutely. Actually, the most recent like stunt pre-biz that I did, it was inspired by the whole Jackie Chan idea of using what's around you, even if it's a banana or a spatula, you know, it could be a lethal weapon.
Yeah.
It is being creative. And I think that's where it is. And I, you know, if you see the progression, the evolution of the Rush Hour films, you can see like he does more and more of that. But with this, and I'm sure we're going to go into it, is when he uses that car tire, like the, sorry, the car.
Yeah. Oh my God. What, who thinks about, yeah. who thinks of that? It's what? Just,
yeah.
Yeah. There's plenty of examples of that in this film. I immediately popped to one of the opening scenes of Rush Hour 2, where they're on like the bamboo scaffolding and they're like fighting. That whole thing. Yeah. So,
oh
yeah.
My gosh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It evolves. And even him coming through small spaces, he's just, it's just like a, you know, like a rat. They're just bending into things. It's just, I don't know how he does it, but no. My goodness, this man is just another level. He's not human. He's superhuman.
Well, yeah, I did mention the IMDb, Rotten Tomatoes rankings. I did find an interesting tidbit. The creator of, the founder of Rotten Tomatoes, I'm going to butcher this name, Sen Dong, is a big Jackie Chan film fan, and he created Rotten Tomatoes to rank Jackie Chan film, rate and rank Jackie Chan films. That's why it all got started. So the fact that this Jackie Chan film got 62% is a little bit of a kick in the nuts.
Yeah. If I were him, I'd just shut down the site. That's wow. Clearly, you guys don't understand the use of this.
Well, if it's up to him, they should probably all be 100%. So he's probably disappointed.
Yeah.
Yeah, anything Jackie Chan related, I'll give it 100% anyway.
Have either of you seen the Foreigner?
Yes.
Yeah, but I don't remember it. I don't remember that one.
So that was like it's not the best film, but it's one of my favorite ones of him because they do it. They purposely try to give you another side of Jackie Chan.
Yes.
And I love that, you know, it was kind of like his, this was his attempt at the Liam Neeson side of martial arts. And it was good. Like, you know, I think people don't realize, like, so we see the acrobat Jackie Chan, the comedian Jackie Chan, the martial art Jackie Chan. But we don't often get to see the dramatic Jackie Chan, except for maybe in like movies, like he has a couple of movies, like there's a little bit of it in Police Story and Super Cop. But I think I wish he would do more of like some dramatic roles, that we see him in some dramatic roles, because he's a good actor. He's actually a really good actor.
Definitely. I think we get some of that here. I mean, when he's talking about Soo Young, like,
yep.
trying to find her, and they're in there, like, he's like, I don't care about you, I don't care about him, I care about the girl. You're like, those are very powerful. And when they lose her again, he has to go back to the ambassador, the consul, and like tell him like, I'm sorry. Like, even there you get hints of it, so you do get parts of it here.
Yeah. And remember his like language barrier as well. And he even, it's also, you know, it's mentioned, it's a gag in this whole series, you know, the fact that he struggled with the English script, you know, so the fact that he's still able to emote those emotions, as you said, in his second language, it's incredible. And Chris Tucker found some of the lines hard to remember himself.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I mean, the outtakes say it all. It's amazing. Exactly. But
speaking of the outtakes, I'm going to go ahead and give Jackie Chan the credit that he deserves, because without his films, we don't see these trademark outtakes in movies.
That's true.
I mean, because come on, who didn't stop and stay at the end of a film to watch the outtakes of any of his films?
I mean, it goes even like to today, like, well, not today, but like recently with the Hangover film, like the first one, or at least like had the whole pictures and the outtakes kind of thing. So, yeah, I mean, every time I watch a Jackie Chan film, like, that's something I'm looking forward to.
Absolutely.
I did want to mention, because this is about the soundtrack as well and the music. This is one of my favorite themes, like even just the opening theme, and it recurs throughout the film. It's the composer's Lalo or Lalo Schifrin. Like, I love going into like Hong Kong, and we get a view of the skyline, and we get into the story, and this is like the music goes along perfectly with that. And they've got like, they've got hints of like Chinese instruments in there, and musicianship and instrumentation, and it's just like the na 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 na. Like, it's, oh man, I'm in. I'm just in immediately.
It felt like they got inspiration from Enter the Dragon a little bit.
Definitely.
I love what they did with it.
But it's also mixed with like some 80s action, American action films as well. So it's really cool.
Exactly. That's what I'm wearing. It's very 80s, 90s inspired. Yeah. So because of the music and like I said, the style that it's filmed, and it just keeps to the essence of the 90s as well as the 80s as well, the influence 100%.
And it's so iconic. Like, I think if you turned it, like you didn't see the picture and you just heard the music, you instantly know, oh, Rush Hour. This is Rush Hour.
Yeah.
100%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was very inspirational for like Chinese films as well, like John Woo films, you know? It kind of lends to that, to that drama in the beginning. It sets, it just draws you straight in from the moment you hear that music.
Yeah.
And then switching to like Chris Tucker, immediately as soon as he comes on scene, like I think it's the transition is great because it's like Jackie Chan's talking to Su Young and she's like, America's a very friendly place, and it's just like, hey man, get out the way, he's like and immediately in that first scene I'm getting like a lot of Eddie Murphy, like Beverly Hills Cop vibes from him, and the way he carries himself in this movie.
Well, little known fact, Eddie was supposed to be, this was a vehicle for Eddie Murphy, but he ended up turning it down.
For Holy Man.
For Holy Man. Which I like. I like that movie, but...
Do you? Stuff,
yeah, I actually do like that movie.
Something wrong.
It's very zen.
Yeah.
Unlike this one?
Yeah.
Who is the other actor that was also in line for the role of Christian?
Oh, Will Smith and Martin Lawrence.
Wesley Snipes was also in there. Dave Chappelle, Tupac Shakur.
Can you imagine this with Dave Chappelle?
We'd be smoking weed all over. That's a sick of weed. Let me get it.
I love it. That was
awesome. I love the scene where Chris Tucker goes into his captain's office and like he's like, you did this, you did that, and all that, did a good job too. And he's like, that's what I've been trying to tell everybody's face. It's so good.
No, he's just brilliant.
And then and we talk about classic Jackie Chan, classic Chris Tucker ad-libbing a lot of the lines in this movie.
Yeah. Which apparently Jackie was not too crazy about. But you got to understand it from his end of the script. I mean, his English wasn't that great at that moment. So he's improvising. That's hard for him to kind of keep up, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's probably good practice for him, though.
Yeah, no, true.
We call it career training.
Yeah, true. But it also kind of really has that, it's a stereotype as well, right? It's kind of when you see someone foreign, you just assume that they don't speak English. So the scene where he's bringing his, when he just arrived, he's like, you put your own shit in the back.
I'm not a sky cat.
I'm not a sky cat.
Yeah, I mean, well, the funny thing is, I found some trivia saying that kind of that interaction was very much like their real first meeting, where Chris Tucker was talking super fast. It was the opposite, though. It was the opposite way. Chris Tucker was talking really fast. And at the end of the meeting, I think Jackie Chan said to his translator, like, I didn't understand anything he said. I didn't understand any of the words that he just spoke. So they kind of used it in the film, which is really cool.
Look, I speak perfect English, but I'm telling you,
Chris
Tucker is a whole other level. I mean, besides the fact that he talks fast, he has this high pitched sound.
Mm-hmm.
That must be really hard to kind of try to figure out on the fly.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, but that was a what the fuck moment for me is like, Chris Tucker is super racist in this movie.
Well, everybody was.
Kind of bad. It's kind of, well, so not as bad. He was the worst. He was definitely the worst. But, you know, they do flip it on him. You know, you assume that I didn't speak English. I didn't tell you that, right? So, and that's a cool moment in the film, too.
Yeah.
See, we learn it with educational.
Exactly. I think back in the 90s films, you kind of did get away with those things. I think now it's more sensitized and everything, you know, and people are more conscious of, you know, insulting people. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, yeah. It's just such a beautiful moment because that it encapsulates their journey, right? In terms of that, in terms of understanding each other's culture. I think it was like beautifully put together.
Yeah, well, it's very well done here, where you have like other films that are just like blatantly racist. Like this one used it as a vehicle to have that conversation.
Yes.
Right. So that makes it, you know, that's why for me this movie holds up, because it's not doing it just to do it. It's doing it for a purpose.
And they could have easily fallen into that trap. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you're doing comedy on this, like with this kind of. This kind of comedy can be easy to kind of just use as a crutch throughout the movie, but they clearly were doing it with the mindset of kind of, you know, nod, nod, wink, wink. We're going to teach you something as well. So, which is totally a Jackie Chan thing. I can totally see him like reading the script and making sure that, you know, they didn't fall into that trap.
Yeah.
I would almost argue that the writers or directors were more biased against like American law enforcement.
Oh, absolutely.
The way they make LAPD, they talk about LAPD and the way they make the FBI look, I was like,
yeah, absolutely.
Oh my goodness.
Did anybody notice that in this whole in the entire film, Jackie Chan doesn't shoot the gun once? Not once.
I didn't. No. Oh, yeah. So he's like Batman.
He goes to shoot a couple. So in the beginning of the movie, when he's on that boat, the first time he's on that boat and he's chasing after Sang, and he jumps down off this 15-foot high. And I had to pause the film at that moment and go, this dude's Batman. He's literally Batman. He can jump. Run, flip the whole bit. He doesn't use guns. He's sneaky. He's stealthy. He's smart.
He doesn't have gadgets, but his use of things around him is pretty much gadgets, right?
Yeah, he should have just been Batman. He can use the surroundings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So somebody needs to put him in a DC movie or something.
That's true. Batman has something to learn from Jackie Chan.
That's right.
You just had a did you notice? I had a did you notice? The scene where Carter finally realizes that Lee can speak English, and they drive past this big mural in the background.
What was that mural?
And there's a bunch of people pictured on the wall.
I saw the mural. I couldn't make out who it was.
The main person right in the middle is Chris Tucker.
What?
Yeah. It's like it's from his stand-up days, I think, and like they have a bunch of comedians.
Oh my god!
Yep, you didn't notice that? Oh no. Come on!
I'll be getting back. We're looking out for that now.
Let's just pause the podcast, and you guys can just put it on right now. I'll wait.
Wow. Okay.
That's a good detail to notice. My goodness.
Nice callback. Chris Tucker. Yeah. Nice callback.
To yourself.
To yourself.
Yeah,
I bet you he suggested that.
Oh my gosh.
Well, we kind of skipped over one of like the best stunts of the film, in that opening scene in Hong Kong at the in the pier. Mm-hmm. And he's like he gets caught between those two containers.
The containers.
One of the containers being pushed close together, and he like does his Spider-Man shit and jumps out. Mm-hmm. He actually almost got crushed. They said like in the, I think one of the trivia things gave a time, like a quarter of a second. His head got out of there a quarter of a second before the two collapsed. Like, oh my God, this guy's crazy.
I don't need Jackie Chan.
He's insane. I remember Rumble in the Bronx, seeing trivia about that one where like, remember there's a scene where he jumps, I think it's Rumble in the Bronx. He jumps off and he lands on a boat or something.
Oh,
or a hovercraft.
Yeah.
He broke his like ankle on that one.
Yeah.
And for the rest of the film, he had a cast with a sneaker painted on the side of it so he could like continue doing stuff.
Yeah.
What? Take a few weeks off, bro. What are you doing?
And then there's the scene in that same movie where he's at the is it the bank or something, where he has to jump and slide underneath the cash. I'm like, wait, what?
He's the Rush Hour 2, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what the tight spaces that Nico was talking about. Where
Holy smokes.
The teller thing. It's just like bars, a metal bar, and he just...
I feel like we could just do a podcast on just the action, like all the different things he's done, because like, it's like insane.
Should we do the trackless Jackie Chan edition?
Just do all of his movies?
Yes!
I feel like we just got our new seat.
Our co-host. You have a co-host now, because you're the expert, I think. If you grew up with Jackie.
Yeah, I know Jackie Chan.
Let me get it started up here.
Yeah, we've got lots to talk about, isn't it?
Oh my god!
Yeah,
that would be hilarious.
But let's start with this one. We can release this in both podcasts. But I mean, the other scene I really love is the pool hall scene.
Yeah.
Everything about it. I think that scene is like masterclass Jackie Chan, masterclass Chris Tucker.
You better have come back home.
I do. And I don't even know what Jackie Chan did with those pool cues when he's like, psh, psh, like it was so mechanical.
Yeah.
There's one scene where he's like, he has two of them and he's just like, he blocked the guy, he hit him. I don't even know. Yeah. I can't even describe it.
Like Harley influence, you know, a screamer influence with the two sticks. And again, just an example of how dexterous he is. And he's just thinking on his feet as well. But yeah, even in terms of the language, actually, that's the first time where Jackie Chan was saying that, what's up, my nigga, right?
Mm-hmm.
So just to point out, right, in Japan and in Asian countries, there is actually a doll called Negro-chan. So it's not, so sometimes it's kind of like, I think in terms of, it was just interesting when that happened, because I think a lot of people think, oh my God, you know, people are being so racist because of the, obviously, with the term, but in Japan there is actually a doll called Negro-chan, and it's a black doll, and it's very popular.
It's better be a G.I. Joe. I
definitely cringed when he said that. So
I'm almost trying to justify why. I'm like, oh my goodness.
But only he could have gotten away with it too. You know what I mean? This is not Leonardo DiCaprio, you know?
Right. Well, you see his face when he says it, and he's just like smiling. I'm like, oh, yeah. God. It's kind of cute.
Yeah.
But and that's exactly what would happen, too.
Right?
The guy would go, excuse me? What did you just say?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, then he said it again. Oh, he said it twice. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But even the scene in the back where where Carter obviously knows everybody, but the guy's like, hey, what's going on, Carter? He like elbows him in the stomach, and then he's like, where's the girl? What girl? You know what I'm talking about? Like the whole interaction with them too.
Like,
yeah.
I actually love that. That's one of the outtakes. It's like they're going back and forth, and like his cousin like sneezes all of a sudden, and Chris Tucker's like, what's wrong with you?
It is a comment on what you said about law enforcement, you know? And family, you know, comes over everything. But I found it so funny, that scene. That was hilarious. Where's the little Chinese girl? I'm referring to her name, the Chinese girl.
Yeah. Oh, Krista. Oh my goodness. And then it goes on to like the consulate scene. So like Lee gets away from Carter with the steering wheel attached. And then that whole scene, there's a few things that happen there, not just fighting with the steering wheel, but also like him jumping up the wall and like turning the camera.
Scaling the wall was like, whoa, man.
Insane.
Mm-hmm. Like, look here. We should really actually be scared of Jackie Chan.
Because
that dude could come and get you anywhere you're at.
Yeah. You could...
mm-hmm.
I mean, thank goodness Jackie Chan is a nice guy.
He's apparently a responsible man on Forbes. You know?
Because otherwise, I mean, I don't want to mess with that dude. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he jokes often about, like, people will like, always kind of compliment his martial arts skill. And he's very humble about what, like, his skills. And I'm like, nah. This dude, don't be humble. you could kill everybody in this room, like, before we even pick up a pencil.
Well, I mean, that's the other thing. It's not just his martial arts skills. Like, you see from the stunts he does, his durability. Like, you get in a fight with him, he's going to keep on coming. That's scary.
Yeah.
That's the scary part.
Yeah. He's able to disarm you in a second. In a millisecond.
Exactly. I'm your friend.
I'm also pretty sure I've, in my life, referred to something as G14 classified.
Pretty sure I've done that. Used that at least once. I'm sorry, it's G14 classified.
Yeah.
But I also noticed that it was just like the movie was just is like they talk about nonstop action. There is breaks in the action, but I just think between Chris Tucker just flapping his gums and the comedy and the action, it really is nonstop. It's one or the other throughout, and I can see how someone might get a little tired of it and might not enjoy this film. But it's not me. I'm not one of them. But I can see how it could be exhausting.
Yeah. I think the police officers, like, kind of show that part, right? It's that they're representing the people that could get very tired of that mouthiness. But then there is, there was that one scene where Jackie Chan, and when they're literally about to raid the empty building, and he's like, if you were going to like meet someone with all that money, would you meet here? And then pretends to tie his shoes.
I had to ask about that scene. That I was like, what, that, why, like, that didn't make any sense to me, why he hid. I wasn't really sure what they were trying to do there, but
he didn't want to, I don't know, he didn't want to be get the same reaction that Jackie Chan, that Lee got, I guess.
Yes, I mean,
it's him intervening, right? So he's making assumptions, stopping them. He's already in a lot of trouble as it is.
Yeah. So he's like, I ain't even gonna add to that. But yeah, you talk about like the other police officers or law enforcement being the ones that are exhausted. Like this one scene when right after Lee does the whole fight scene with the steering wheel, and Carter comes up in the tow truck with his car.
Oh yeah,
and he asked the guys at the front, like, "Have you seen a little Asian dude?" And the guy's like, "Go fuck yourself!" Like, that's the exhaustion we're talking about. Like, they're so tired of Chris Tucker.
Yeah, the motor mouth on him. My goodness, he can talk for days.
I tell you, this, so the FBI in the 80s and 90s weren't getting a lot of good vibes off the film, like. I mean, let's face it, be honest. Like, if this was real, those two guys who were in the FBI leads, they should have been fired. Like, they should have been fired by, like, maybe 15 minutes into the movie. They should have been caned. And, I mean, they're in the same class as the FBI guys from Die Hard.
Yeah, but they don't even, like, this one, the two guys are kind of serious. In Die Hard, they're not serious at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're pretty much a joke right away.
And Jackie Chan is serious in his line of work. He clearly takes his job very seriously. You know,
they had to just listen to him up front, let him come, and they could. The movie would have been over in 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Yeah, and it's a good thing that both of them have a background where their dad were in the police force as well. So it kind of brings that into it, where that whole scene about my dad.
Battle of the Daddies.
Yeah,
don't talk about my daddy. Don't talk about my daddy. But the funny thing is,
I'm no punk bitch.
That guy. Oh my god.
He's the hero of this movie.
Yeah, there you go. But the thing is that scene you're talking about where they kind of like, that's how they identify with each other. Like Jackie Chan in this film is just so endearing and likable. And even when you hear about, when I hear about Carter's father, I'm like, yeah, I don't care. You're still a dickhead. You're a dickhead in this whole movie. We've talked about before, Darren and I, High Fidelity, like that character, the main character in that one is like just irredeemable. He's got no redeeming qualities. I kind of feel that way about Carter in this movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, he is. Yeah. I mean, even in the scene where, he's in the car and he calls, what's her name, his supposedly partner, and asks for her help. Even then, like,
at the end of the phone call.
Yeah,
man, I'm sorry, it's my fault, my bad, I've been bad. And then at the end, he's like, hey, by the way, what color panties you got on? I'm like, Like, dude, was that even necessary?
And that's the second time he asked for her help. The first time he asked for her help was when she's in doing the bomb test and he interrupts her. And at the end of that, he's like, yo, thank you so much. I'm sorry I told everyone we slept together. So I was like,
That's just his style, isn't it? It's almost like he gets close to you, gets you in, and then he pushes you away. But that's, I guess, that's part of his character trait, that he doesn't trust so easily.
I hope it was thought out that well.
I would like to think so. And Jackie Chan is the character that almost tames, is the only one that can tame the beast, you know?
Right. Maybe that's why we needed a 3-film series. I don't remember 3. Maybe that's where he redeems himself.
I mean, number 3 was quite tragic with the French taxi driver. Yeah. That part was upset.
I do like Rush Hour 2. I actually like both of this one and Rush Hour 2. But actually, say that again.
That was the most grossed one, isn't it? Out of all
three. Oh, is it?
I think so.
I think it helped this film set the stage for that one, you know.
We do
have a tie-in to a podcast we recently did with Elizabeth Peña, who was in La Bamba, which we covered a month ago.
Yeah.
And actually another tie-in is to another film we've done, which is Jackie Brown. I found some trivia that when Jackie Chan is outside it's when they're staking out the restaurant, and then 2 tourists come and ask him directions to Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles.
Yeah.
That's actually apparently the Chicken and Waffles, or it's the same restaurant that Samuel L. Jackson uses to lure Chris Tucker into the trunk of a car before shooting him.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
yeah, yeah.
Is this the same universe? I don't know.
PG.
And rest in peace to Elizabeth Peña, so.
Oh, I didn't even know she passed away. What?
Yeah, like I think 2 years ago.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I was really sad. She's been in a few other movies that I enjoy her personality.
Oh, if she hasn't already, she's absolutely someone that probably should have gotten a Lifetime Achievement Award because she's been in so much. Yeah. Wow, I didn't realize that actually. That's crazy.
So when I was actually looking at the music, the song list in Rush Hour, the ones I haven't actually noticed or haven't seen is the Mariah Carey song, Butterfly, that's sung in, you know, by Su Young in the car. That's for me one of the iconic scenes. It's a radio song, but it's not listed in the track list of Rush Hour.
That's so weird.
So, yeah, we find that all the time. But if you go to, I found it in a site we use all the time called whatsong.com.
It's
listed there. But on that website, they list like the chronology of the songs and then people will mention what scenes they were in. So that's probably a fuller scope of, I hate when they miss out stuff.
It's probably because to put in the album, they actually have to pay for the additional rights to kind of to use. So they probably didn't want to pay for it. So
I mean, there's a big clip. I mean, I know the girl is singing over her, but it's a long part of the song.
Yeah.
That they use.
That's my jam in the car. When that comes on, I feel like young. I'm like,
Well, I don't know. How are you going to skip over after the first scene with Carter when he blows the car up? What song plays then?
Oh my God.
Just another part of me. No, Michael Jackson?
Oh. Yes. Michael Jackson thing, you know, at the end.
But probably the best song is when Lee turns on the radio in Carter's car.
War.
Mm-hmm.
Beach Boys surfing USA.
Beach Boys.
Oh, that one too.
And he's like,
Don't you ever touch a black man's radio? But we've talked about quotable movies recently. This one's quotable.
Yeah, there are.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
Yeah, 100%.
I think
I've heard G14 Classified. We mentioned, yeah.
And man, you sound like a kung fu movie.
He's like, oh wait, but Jackie Chan leads into that. He's like, yo,
yeah,
his face. Yeah. Oh my God. Oh, good. Jackie Chan is amazing.
Yeah.
So I have a our long running segment. So hold up.
Oh boy.
Where's the ransom money coming from?
I don't know. His Venmo account. I don't know.
This guy's a civil servant. They don't make that much money, and the U.S. ain't paying for that. Where is it coming from?
The yen was probably higher.
Oh, wow, you really thinking into this one, huh?
I'm just saying.
He had all those Chinese kind of.
So you say he sold some of the priceless artifacts.
Yeah, there you go.
That's worse than Juntao. What are you talking about?
He went on antique roadshow with all the antiques. You know.
Oh, so. Dear. Oh, I don't like what you're suggesting, amigo. I don't like it.
You know, when push comes to shove and, you know, desperate measures, you know?
You know what? You're right. If it was my daughter, I'd be like, fuck this shit. Take
$50 million. What do you think you got? Chelsea Count?
Yeah, you sound just like Chris Tucker in the outtakes. Kidnapped Chelsea Carter? Is it Carter? Is it Clinton? Chelsea Grandma? It's so good.
$50 million. You have to seriously there's a comedian who has a joke about this, and he's like, if someone, you know, kidnaps a kid, he's like, you know what? $50 million? I can make another kid. That's good. You keep it. I can make another one. It's going to cost me less than $50 million.
That's terrible.
Awful.
It's awful. But, you know.
Yeah. But I guess we're talking about the Chinese art and artifacts. Leads us kind of to the final scene, which is, again, to me, kind of there with the pool hall scene with like how good Chris Tucker is in it. And then, of course, Jackie Chan doing just crazy shit.
Well, before, there's one scene that I like. There's a scene where, like, after that, the building blows up and the cops are in there the whole bit, right? And they chase Sang through the building.
Mm-hmm.
And Sang hops out and starts swinging this axe.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry, but that was, to me, is one of the badass fight scenes, because that was a real axe, one. And two, he was really swinging it. And three, Jackie Chan has to avoid this dude from killing him. I'm like, what?
It always makes me nervous. It always makes me so nervous watching that scene.
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
What? No, I'm sorry. They would have told me what the plot was. All right, so Darren, this is where he's going to swing the... I'm like, no, he ain't swinging no axe at me. You better get him a rubber axe or a paper towel roll or CGI it in his hand or something.
That's just not Jackie Chan. Jackie Chan just has to do it.
I'm just like, wow. Here's my thought for Jackie Chan. Just when you think that you've seen everything there is to see from Jackie Chan, he comes up with something else, and you're like, what the? I just stopped writing the fuck on my paper at some point. I stopped writing it. I was like,
I didn't even try to use anything he did as a what the fuck moment.
I tried that was just pointless. And then gave up.
No.
Yeah. No, that thing was insane.
I know. I had to say, I know. I had to mention that because to me, that was the epitome. Besides the scene in the beginning with the cargo things, that to me was the most insane thing to do.
Yeah. Timing, I mean, positioning of when he's, oh gosh. It gave me the sweats when I was watching. Even till today, when I watch that scene, I'm still sweating in my hands. I'm thinking, my gosh, you know, to have that kind of be brave and just be so daring as such, you know.
Have you ever had a close call like that?
Close call, my goodness. luckily, no, because I'm very lucky to be working with stunt coordinators that you know, think about safety first.
Right.
And I'm not saying that Jackie Chan isn't, but he's so experienced. And when he started in China, you know, stunt coordinators, things like that, you know, there wasn't any safety procedures as such. Yeah. You know, he just did it off the bat. Well, looked good. And even that scene, I think, was in first fight, when he was going down that, that pole in the mall, and it's got all the lights. He was electrocuted and he broke some ribs in that, and he falls into here. So, you know, for this, compared to that, I think all the things after in Hollywood, where there are safety procedures, more so than when he was in the, you know, stunt academy back in China, I think this is a doddle for him. We can see in the outtakes, of course, he did hurt himself, you know, a lot of times in the outtakes as well in it. And I love that they show that reality as well, that not everything just goes to plan.
There's like a movie, there's a documentary about Jackie Chan and all, and they'll show you like all these different stunts and things he's done. And at the end of the documentary, they do kind of the outtakes, but all the outtakes are just pictures of him going to the hospital, being carried out of a off of a set. I mean, all these different things where it's just like, wow, like, how is he? I don't even know what to say about him.
Having said that, now the biggest question I had actually was, how was it received in China? You know, with Russia, because considering he started off in China, and in China they've got a lot of restrictions with films. You know, with filming, it's really hard for distribution. And when I researched it, it seemed like Russia didn't get good reception. In fact, the third Russia 3 was banned in China.
Really?
And even Jackie Chan mentioned something about, he knew the reception in China would be different because, of course, the West, he's catering to the Western audience, and he knew, he was very reconciled to the fact that China wasn't going to receive it in the same way as the Western audience would.
Right.
And he was right. And I think it wasn't well received considering, like, you know, he's pretty much representing, you know, in other countries. But yeah, Russia 3 was banned in China, I think.
Is that where you think the 62% on Rotten Tomatoes comes from?
That's pretty it from the
China.
Oh my gosh! Yeah. Oh my goodness.
I'm wondering, like, if this got such a bad reception, what about, like, what was the other ones he did with out in the West, like, not in,
is it Shanghai, not in, Shanghai Noon,
Shanghai Noon. Shanghai Nights.
When he goes to the other one, he does the drunken master thing there as
well. Oh, right.
He plays the master. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it Forbidden Kingdom or something? I forgot it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's plenty of other film, like, I don't know what Kung Fu Yoga is, but yeah, I'm just curious about how, because a lot of the films we were exposed to after this one were Western made films. So anyway.
Exactly. And in the Rush Hour 2, actually, Carla says a line. He goes, don't be messing with me, Lee. I will slap you so hard you'll end up in the Ming Dynasty. You can see why you'll get
Yeah.
Yeah,
but like that's not, like, you know, that's not offensive. Because even like for American films, like that comes back to, like, I'll slap you back to Africa, right? Like,
right.
You know, that's where that's rooted in. So I guess the Chinese government's overly sensitive. I don't know.
Yeah. Also, have you guys ever tried camel hump?
What's funny is I
can't eat that greasy shit.
I just saw, like, on TikTok, somebody actually did a thing about cooking camel's hump. And I was like, what? That's real?
That's what I was thinking. I was looking for camel's hump on a Chinese book. I can't find it.
It's real.
I mean, I wouldn't look for it, but I've never seen it.
It's supposed to be some kind of delicacy. And it's real. It was like, I saw they showed them slicing it off and chopping it up and turning it in. I was like, yeah, no, I'm good. I'm good.
Exactly.
I've had eel. But I won't, you know. Eel's great.
I'm very picky. I'm super picky.
If you have, like, if you have to cook the right way, made the right way, you just think you're having this fish, regular fish. Mm.
Or I can just eat fish, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
There's already something that tastes like that. I don't understand why we got to try some new shit. But yeah, like the final fight scene is to me, like, I don't know if it's my favorite scene, but it's pretty awesome. Because even like, this is where maybe Carter is redeeming, is when he has the girl. He's like, yeah, we got a bomb right here. Go ahead, push the button. And then she kind of goes like, yeah, push the button. Like her reaction is pretty cool in that.
Calm down, lady.
Yeah, he pulls her back. you heard her. You heard the girl. Like, this is good. But yeah, it just there's so many. I mean, I can't take Chris Tucker seriously as a fighter, but like Jackie Chan again. Like I think my favorite is when he's trying to hold the vase up.
Oh right.
And the two guys are attacking him.
Yeah.
And then fighting. he pushes it up, turns around, lets it drop on his back, and he's like pulls him in like goes, like this is really quick. I was like. But then he pushes it up, he starts running away, and someone shoots it and explodes. And he's like, oh! It's just like such a great sequence.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff.
That's so good. That was brilliant.
There was a lot of good stuff in that last 10 minutes.
I have a question for Chris Tucker, though.
Okay.
So you know early in the movie when they're at the Chinese restaurant and like he gets hit and the guy... The main henchman throws the handkerchief and says, wipe yourself off. You're bleeding.
Oh, yeah.
So in the final scene, when he shoots that guy, when Carter shoots him and he does the same thing, he's like, wipe yourself off. You dead. Mm-hmm. Who are you talking to? Everybody else in the room is dead or unconscious. Who are you talking to?
That's my favorite line in the movie.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
It makes no sense.
It's he dead.
Okay, but he could have at least like gone downstairs where the other people and been like, I just did this and I was going to say this. Like, you know?
Can you imagine? He goes downstairs, you know, I told him to wipe himself off because he did. Like,
that exactly. Would have been.
Exactly.
That would have been funnier and made more sense.
Yeah. But you know what Chris Tucker's like in this character? He likes to blow it up even more. So he'll probably talk about it anyway. As if everyone else was there.
You know?
Like in the very first scene, you know, when he's like talking about like how he like captured the cops and everything. He single-handedly did everything by himself, you know? Like he's this lone cop.
Oh. That's the funniest part when he's doing that. He's like, yeah, like 10 guys jumped out the trunk. It might be in the paper. Nah, it's not in there. Like,
yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I mean, Chris Tucker is great in this film.
The question at the end of this movie would be, so the suitcase hits, money's raining down. Do you stop and pick up some of that cash and keep it? Or no?
No, because it'll still be there later.
Yeah, but by that time, the other cops might be on the scene. You know what I'm saying?
Is this when Lee is already hanging from the rafter?
Yeah,
that should answer your question.
But like,
this is why he's irredeemable. This is exactly why.
Yeah,
he actually ends up taking that money. You know that, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
In the second movie, he has a stack of money that you know. So.
It's just going to go into evidence.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's like 10s and 20s, man. Come on.
I'm not promoting crooked cops in any way.
sounds like you are. Sounds like you are. That's what I got out of that.
And you in to LA, so watch it.
Yeah.
Too many crime
films. We can't release this episode anymore for your own safety.
This will only release on the East Coast because on the West Coast, the LAPD might have to have a conversation with you.
Mm-hmm. I mean, well, I also would not trust Chris Tucker to get that banner under Jackie Chan in time.
That's my biggest what the fuck of the movie, to be honest.
Mm-mm.
I was like, nah, I don't think so. I think Jackie dies and they get Jet Li in the next movie.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's another person we need to talk about. Jet Li. I need to think about a movie with him in it that has a great soundtrack. I don't know if Lethal Weapon 4 has a good soundtrack.
What's that?
Does it have a good soundtrack?
Yeah, they've got a lot.
I remember that one.
Like soundtracks and also the piano.
Piano. Yeah. Piano that's a good movie. Yeah.
Unleash Danny the Dog. That's a really good film.
The one might have an okay soundtrack too. I'm trying to remember
the one.
Yeah,
I remember that's what Jason Statham too, right?
Yeah,
it's a
No, no, that's war. That's sorry, that's war.
And also the one with Aaliyah.
Oh yeah. Well, that's on our
Romeo
list.
Romeo Must Die. Yeah.
Yes, Romeo Must Die. That one.
And which one?
Forbidden Kingdom. I'm always going to say that because Forbidden Kingdom. I always wanted to see a fight between them, and finally we get to see it there.
True that.
I just we've had guests lined up for Romeo Must Die for quite some time. It hasn't happened yet.
It's like one of my favorite movies.
But that's like between, like, we talked about Rocky last week. We talk about this now, and I think Romeo Must Die back in the day. I watched that on repeat.
You know, I could get Russell Wong to come on the show.
Well, make that happen.
That'll be amazing.
I don't know why you just talking about it. Be about it, you know?
Yeah.
Wow, I'm feeling pressure all of a sudden.
Yeah,
you should shut up your mouth, man.
Maybe I'll save it for if we do the Jackie Chan podcast.
Exactly. You should become a punk bitch. You're being a punk bitch.
I'm no punk bitch.
Boom.
You know what? We should not have had her on the show doing this movie.
I'm very happy with her on it. What are you talking about?
Too aggressive. Too aggressive. We need something less.
Stop it, you snowflake. Although this movie definitely ends with the. It's not my favorite part. I have a few favorite parts, but like it's not my favorite. I would say the pool hall is my favorite scene, but the end when Jackie Chan they're on the plane and Jackie Chan puts the headphones on. He's like, 15 hours? What are we going to do 15 hours? He's like, I don't know. Whoa. Who? What? And he goes, yes! Like, so good. Yeah. Jackie Chan, you are a legend. You are a fucking legend.
Yeah.
He's so good.
It's Darren disappeared on us. Have I offended him?
I'm here still.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's fine. We can finish without him. It's cool.
Yeah. You have some camel
hump, that's it. So what's your favorite scene in the film?
It's that big, of course, apart from all the martial arts part of it. And especially like when he's doing the gun like during war, and he's teaching Carter how to handle a gun or disarm someone. I just love that bit as well. And when they're walking down the street together, and they met eye to eye, you know?
Yeah.
And of course, there's so many scenes here. But, and of course, the very beginning part, you understand the words that I can't find my mouth? I literally use that all the time. Because some people even hear when I'm speaking in, you know, English, but I'm so sorry, I don't understand. I'm like, do you understand the words that I can't find my mouth? Literally. But am I talking foreign language?
Are you using like the Cockney sayings and stuff? Maybe that might be your fault.
Yeah. I mean, I used the word aluminium, and I think people.
That's not a word here. I'm sorry.
It's even toilet. So I was like, where is the toilet? Or, you know, it's not like I was saying, where's the loo? You know, so people did not understand me. And I think, I've got those rush hour moments.
Is this in LA? This is happening in LA? That's why.
Yeah, in LA. This is all in LA. You know?
What do they say in LA? Restroom?
Yeah, restroom, bathroom, I guess.
Yeah.
Wait, have you ever said, this is like one of my favorite lines from Ocean's 11. Okay. Have you ever said, we're going to be in real Bonnie?
No, I've never said that, actually.
Bonnie, rubble, trouble. No, you don't remember that? It's like my favorite line from that movie. Don Cheadle. Anyway. I digress. Darren, please. Did you have a favorite scene in the film?
My favorite scene in the film actually was the fight scene upstairs in the restaurant. Because that had to be some serious choreography right there, man.
Oh, yes.
The chair when Jackie like jump kicks the guy and lands in the chair. Will you have an outtake for that one? Yeah.
That whole
there's actually another one from that when he throws the tray, but he misfires and he's like,
yeah.
And it always hits a camera or something. Or like,
So, that's a good one. At the end of the scene.
Oh no, I was going to say just like them sliding down the stairs as well. you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
But when they're done like fighting in that room, and Chris Tucker's like, "We fucked y'all." I'm so happy. I feel like that was genuine joy that he was like able to get through the choreography. All right, I have the more important question now, which is favorite outtakes.
I like the part. I mean, I guess just because action based is when he enters the room with the wheel, and he's like has the gun, and he's just like.
Mm-hmm.
That was good. I thought.
Yeah,
and one. Of course Chris Tucker blunders, considering like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Jackie struggled with the language, but Chris Tucker, mm-hmm. my goodness.
Oh, that's my favorite. Is the last outtake when he's like, I have to learn English and he can't learn three words, and he just goes,
Yeah, exactly.
That was so funny. He says Nishishi. Oh my goodness.
That's true, though. A whole school bus is just that one line.
Yeah.
But perhaps Chinese is difficult.
Oh, yeah. I would never want to try to learn that, man.
Yeah. I've heard that.
I'm trying to learn Japanese right now.
Yeah.
Chinese? No. Never. Yeah. No way. Yeah. No how. It is super, so hard.
Well, my wife is Korean, and we've been together for 27 years almost. I still can't.
I was going to ask you that. Did she teach you any? She teaching you Korean?
Well, her Korean is pretty bad too. I'd have to go to her sister or her mom probably, but no. I know like basics like 안녕하세요, hello, 감사합니다, thank you. I can count to five, but yeah, that's about it.
And all the food, of course, you know, chapchae.
Chapchae.
Oh yeah. The food, right?
Yeah.
That's the first thing you learn is the food. You got to survive somehow.
Of course, yeah, for sure. K-drama's awesome too. I love K-drama. Good one.
Yeah, my sister does too.
I haven't gotten into any of those, but you know, I like the food. Can't say I like the pop.
Yeah.
But yes, favorite quotes and what the fuck moments. Are we there yet?
We are there yet.
We've said a bunch of quotes, so I don't even know.
Yes. I think the one where I think the cringe one is, you know, the one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was cringe. But he gets away with it, right? Would he say he got away with it?
Listen, we're still talking about this movie, and
yeah.
I think sounds like we love it, so.
Yeah.
It hasn't tainted the film. I love a bunch of these, like the opening scene with his captain, Carter's captain. He's like, and you destroyed a city block. That block was already messed up.
Yeah, that's a great line.
That is so true. Oh, he's got good liners.
Most of mine are Chris Tucker.
I had one what the fuck moment / quote that doesn't hold up for time's sake. And that is the FBI dude saying, I don't need no help from some Chungking cop.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, no, don't. Mm-mm.
I think makes some Sammo Hung, because they say that in Sammo Hung as well.
Okay, so it's a callback. Callback. We'll accept that one.
With Jackie Chan, the moment that Chris Tucker realizes he can speak English, he goes, the moment that, you know, that person, I just let them speak, but then you realize how much full of shit they are. It's like
his delivery on that, how much full of shit they are. He like smiles when he says it. Yeah. It's so charming. It's so charming.
And it's true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I liked they're in the car, Carter and Lear in Carter's car, and he's like, they don't like you. I don't like you. I don't care. I'm here for the girl. The girl don't like you. this one's like just crude, but like it's after Carter catches him with the the banner, and he lands on him, and then Lee kisses him on the cheek. He's like, "What are you doing? Just I was just trying to be polite." Well, next time, be polite to my nuts. Oh, come on, man.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, Chris Tuck has the best lines, I think. He definitely does. And he's and you said he improvised a lot of the lines, right? He improvised.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any other what the fuck moments?
I have one more.
It's not a what the fuck moment, but it's just an observation I made. Is you know when Soo-young gets kidnapped on the motorbike, and this is just a stunt thing. You can see that the legs are a man's legs.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
Yeah,
and she's like fluttering. Of course, I you
added a.
Just noticed it when I'm watching it.
You just added another did you notice segment for us?
Yeah,
I did not notice. I did not notice.
Wow.
Wow.
Shout out
that,
to
that qualifies as what the fuck, I think.
I mean, it's understandable because, of course, she needed a stunt double. But yeah, the more that I watch it, because I've watched this film so many times, I'm like,
I'm going to pay attention to that hardcore next time I watch it.
Doesn't she supposedly come back in the third movie?
It's the third movie, yeah. She's third all movie, grown right? up, and then Chris Tucker like looks at her thinking, "Oh, so young." Yeah.
You know? I'm like, dude, that's nasty.
That's gross. that's another what the fuck, yeah.
Yeah. Just notice also, just for finally another not what the fuck, but you know, an observation as well, is that Chris Tucker was 26 when he did this. I think when he did this first film, and then Jackie Chan was 44. So there was a huge age gap. So it also kind of shows the difference, you know, like the 26-year-old mentor. You wouldn't think that, but actually that's how old he was, right? Like,
yeah. I didn't realize they had such a age gap.
Yeah. Well, you know, we Asians age very well. We don't age until we hit.
So you know, that's what my wife says all the time. So black don't crack. My wife likes to say Asian don't raisin.
Yeah, that's true.
Not a perfect rhyme, but we'll allow it. all right, are we ready for our final questions here?
Oh, sure.
Okay, so we mentioned this before, some trivia, that other actors in the line for Detective Carter were Martin Lawrence, Eddie Murphy, Dave Chappelle, Will Smith, Tupac, also Wesley Snipes. Do any of these guys attract you to this role?
I would say...
I love Chris Tucker in this, right? I think his obnoxious demeanor kind of makes it just... and the fact that Jackie Chan's totally the opposite of that. But they balance each other out. I think if it was like even Eddie Murphy, it would just be like that donkey, you know. I don't know, it would probably be more endearing, their relationship, than what it is, you know.
Eddie
Murphy is likable as well, so like even though he can't be obnoxious, it's just that you still like him. I will say, I would love to see, this is a different movie, this is not for Rush Hour, but I would love to see Wesley Snipes and Jackie Chan in a movie.
That's cool.
Oh, that's
a maybe maybe butting heads against each other, not cool. as a buddy cop. Yeah.
Cool, yeah.
It's too bad.
Blade four.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe more like the Expendables.
Oh yeah. Jackie Chan is at that point in his career.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, Jackie Chan is.
I can imagine Forrest Whitaker being kind of maybe a good if he was an alternative. Mm. But,
Forrest Whitaker. Yeah. Forrest Whitaker. Ghost Dog. Wow. He has Ghost Dog. Yeah, I mean.
That's interesting.
But I have to, you can't, I think that comedic timing and that, that really facetious, like obnoxious nature of Chris Tucker just works for this. And it's his bulging eyes. You know, it's his face just says it all.
Yeah.
You know? Like.
His eyes are a character unto itself.
Exactly. It's an entity in itself. It has a story. So
he's almost, and Chris, you're going to disagree with this, I know, right off the bat. But he's almost Jim Carrey-like in a lot of his energy because of how he exaggerates what he's doing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think it's just very hyperbolic. It's just over the top, almost caricature, right?
So Yeah.
That was me disagreeing. Just shut off my camera. I mean, I don't know. I mean, Jim Carrey is some next level shit to me.
Yeah. Don't get him started on Jim Carrey.
That's my boy. Alrighty then, my next question. So I guess with the first question we kind of answered, we usually ask about some actors and if they would fit in this role or in this movie, what role, and it would be better. I guess Will Smith is out. We kind of answered that one. I would like to pose a question of one of our favorites, Michelle Yeoh.
What about her?
Could she be in this film? In what role? And would she make it better? Like, maybe be more specific, Detective Lee in Jackie Chan's role.
Well, you know, that would be interesting to see her and Chris Tucker. That would be really interesting.
That would be funny, actually. That would be funny. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because,
Jackie Chan and Michelle Yeoh did work together. She was actually stunting with Jackie Chan in one of the initial stages.
She was part of his like, is it called a Jackie Chan, like, stunt crew or some stuff?
Super Cop 2, I believe, right?
That sounds familiar, yeah.
Yeah, she starred in his films, and that was, like, one of her stunt jobs, because she was a dancer. She wasn't even a martial artist before that. So, she learned it all on the job as well, and
Or Rush Hour 4, where she's like his partner, Jackie Chan's partner, and they do something with it. I don't know.
What about Chris Tucker and Michelle Yeoh?
I almost want to see Michelle Yeoh as the villain, and then see how that goes. You know?
How dare you say something better than me?
Villain? That's not that. Yes. Yes, you know, that's
Michelle Yeoh. Brother's son was, she was awesome in that. I would like to see her as the evil, you know?
Oh, that would be good.
You win this round, Emiko.
Damn you.
Okay, so tell us your favorite song in the soundtrack, and then I don't know if there's a song that encompasses the story, but you can try.
War?
War? That's your favorite? That's your favorite song?
The first one.
Yeah, that's mine. Yep.
Yeah.
I listen to the song as much as I do because of this movie.
Exactly. And it's played in a lot of martial arts classes as well. If you're doing anything that involves martial arts or like getting that out, that song comes up and everyone just identifies it or associates it with Rush Hour. You know? Mm-hmm.
Well, Darren's favorite is Surfing USA.
Oh yeah.
Anyway, my favorite song on this track, I guess it's War because it's the most prevalent, I think. And I mean, I was listening to this before, so
you were playing the spoons on it.
Watch it.
You were playing on the spoons when they recorded that song, right?
Yeah. Right. I would say War because it's the most fun and it's where they kind of begin to bond and stuff. So,
And Mariah Carey's song as well.
Mm-hmm. Michael Jackson, another part of me, just all the songs, right? So I took a stab at the song that encompasses the storyline.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say the Isley Brothers Fight the Power because Jun Tao is kind of fighting the power, sort of.
He's fighting the power. He's a criminal.
Criminals aren't in power. The government's anyway. And then at the end of the film, when the FBI offer Carter a job, he says, take that badge, shove it up your ass, all up in your ass. So I feel like he's fighting the power there too. So that's my loose adaptation. Not adaptation, but I tried. I don't think it's one of those movies. Okay.
That's fine with me.
Yeah.
All right. Sure.
Yes, I win that round. Okay. So, okay, yeah. So, final question. What do we rate this film out of 10? 10 being the highest.
I'm going to say 9.5.
Ooh. Ooh.
It's a paragraph where they're one half it. It's Jackie Chan.
9.5. Coming strong to the hoop.
Be careful. Don't alienate our guest.
I'm going to give it a 3. No.
Right, no. That's me gone.
She's like, that's it.
Did you see her face? Oh my goodness.
She's like,
she had the Chris Tucker bug eye.
Now don't be no punk bitch now.
Wow. See, this was the wrong word movie, man. No, I give it a 9 because of the rewatchability for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This is like me and Chris were saying before the podcast, this is perhaps the easiest movie to ever watch.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so easy to watch.
Yeah,
it's absolutely rewatchable, definite day killer. Jackie Chan. I can't even tell you why I'm giving this a 9. I can't even tell you where that missing half point or point is, but yeah. I just feel like I can't give it a 10, but I do love this film, so I'll give it a 9. So we're all in the same vicinity.
Yes. You know, and maybe this is something we cover some point down the road if we ever do a Jackie Chan podcast. Mm-hmm. I will go out and just based on his career, I would say Jackie Chan has the most rewatchable films on record. Like, I think most of his films are all rewatchables. They're all day killers. Name me one that you wouldn't sit and watch if it came on tomorrow. You know what I mean?
Tuxedo.
Okay, so I gotta go now.
Yeah.
I'm not watching the Tuxedo. The Tuxedo's not a good movie. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I'm sorry,
Jackie. That's why I was leaving. I was like, yeah, you're right. Yeah, yeah, but I'm saying overall.
I do like Karate Kid, but I think, I still do like Karate Kid, but I think it's not the one that I would always watch, you know? Come back to Rush Hour.
Right.
Or Drunken Master, or one of his old ones, you know?
Snake and Eagle Shadow. Yes. See, I'm hardcore Jackie Chan, man.
Yeah, you went over my head there. I don't know what that is. Yeah. Okay. Well, this was... Thank you for recommending this film. This was a good one.
Thank you. This was good.
Yeah.
Probably long overdue. But Emiko, what do you have coming up? What are you into right now? What are you working on?
Well, I'm not allowed to say because of NDA.
That's okay. We won't tell everybody. We'll just tell everybody else.
We're off the air. Go ahead.
No, don't worry about that little red light down there. Yeah, there's nothing.
Comes to fruition, but yeah, there's quite a few projects, but I've been doing mocap as well, and because it's Chinese New Year, recently, so there's been a lot of martial arts shows, you know, and I got to learn how to do the dragon dance, which was great, but also bringing in my Zhan sword work, so you know, there's a lot to do here, and it's great because I didn't know that they made Chinese New Year here an actual official holiday in the US, or in California, so they've made it an official holiday now, so
that's awesome.
It's
right,
very interesting. You don't have that in UK, you know, they celebrate it, but it's still like people have to still go to school.
Yeah. All right, so you can't tell us what you're doing. All right, fine.
It's something that I did not consider entering before, so yeah, it's
She's going to be in the Olympics breakdancing.
Nice.
I knew it.
But people can see some highlights of you on your Instagram at Emiko Jane Ishii.
Yes.
I see a lot of your posts and stories all the time. There's a lot of cool stuff on there. I like the gun training ones, by the way.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I love firearms, you know, in terms of so much respect for it, in terms of the power that you wield when you're holding it. So you have to take care.
so you want to move to Texas?
Not quite. Probably the closest I'll get to Vegas, maybe. That place is crazy. You know, you get to shoot an automatic. You can shoot an Uzi and an AK-47 in automatic. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I need to do none of those things. I'm fine.
I can take bow and arrows. How about that?
Yeah, that's fun. Yeah. Or axe throwing. That's a fun one too.
Look here.
I've done both of those. Yeah.
I've never done axe throwing, and I think I'm going to hold off on it for a little while, at least until the zombie apocalypse comes.
Well, you need to train for that. I went to a Renaissance fair. They had axe throwing. They had like the star ninja, like that was called ninja star throwing, and knife throwing. I mean, I was pretty dope at all of them. Just so you know,
they had star throwing too.
It's much more difficult than you think because it's the wrist action.
Yeah. It's like trying to throw a baseball off of a pitcher's mound. If you had the wrong angle on your wrist. It can go a lot of places.
Yeah. Actually, my friend for his bachelor party did. They have like archery, indoor archery, in the city.
Yeah, they do.
And so we did that, and they did this competition where they had like several rows of balloons, and two teams what? Lined up.
Oh. Bless you.
Bless you. That was distracting. So they had like two teams, and then like you had several rows of balloons, and like each team like shoots one arrow, next person comes up, and you have to like burst all the balloons. But then somehow there's some kind of elimination. If someone like hits it before you, you're out. Right. I made it to the final round of like 10 people. So, you know, I will survive the apocalypse. I'll tell you right now.
Yeah, you're ready for the water balloon gun.
You know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. If there's a water balloon running at me trying to eat me, I will kill that water balloon.
100%.
Yeah.
Okay. I know Darren and I have more and more podcasts. We have a bunch lined up for release, so we're excited about that. We just finished an event. By this time this releases, it'll be like a month away. But we did an event this week at The Globe for some amazing film and TV networking. And we're going to do another one hopefully the first week of April. So if this releases before then, everyone come out.
Yeah.
I'll be having to fly out.
Yeah, New York, you go. Yes, New York. Well, we would love to see you in person.
Yeah, that'll be great. We should do some kung fu stuff together, like some martial arts fight scenes.
That'd be interesting. Oh,
I have no training in that. You'd have to teach me everything.
That'll be fun.
Yeah, I think that'll be a lot of fun. Yes.
Yeah.
Evil claw. Yeah.
Exactly. Tiger.
Oh God. Can we turn his camera off again? outside of that, I don't know, Darren. You have anything else coming up?
Probably. I have no idea. No, I have a bunch of podcasts coming up. I'm relaunching 12 million in the next couple of weeks.
Okay.
So I'll have some stuff coming up there and drop the mic where I'm back in the studio next week. So that'll be cranking out some new stuff for that. And,
nice.
And, I think I have an event on March 7th called The Art of Storytelling.
You think?
Yeah, I think I do. Can you hear the words that are coming out of my mouth?
Oh no, I heard you say I think. So I want to make sure you're sure.
Anyway, well, I'm so happy you got to come back on the show. And
yes, me too. Having me.
We'll have to figure out how to launch the Jackie Chan podcast. You know, keep crushing out there in LA state, and because I love seeing what you're doing. It's all the stuff. I'm like, man, she's doing all this cool sword stuff, and I'm here, well, just not doing sword stuff.
I'll teach you. Don't you worry.
Oh, cool. I haven't used a sword in a long time. Don't look like that. You don't know my secret.
Why are you using a sword? What are you using a sword for?
I took martial arts.
Medieval times. You were a knight in medieval times, right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
No? Okay.
No.
That would make more sense to me.
Anyway, I guess thank you for being on the show today.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Always a pleasure. Have a hoot all the time.
Be sure to follow Chris at ChrisSaunders_music and follow me.
Darren Jenkins.
The Darren Jenkins.
The Darren Jenkins. Thank you very much. Exactly. There's only one. And please follow the podcast at the Tracklist Podcast. And again, we're on our 100th episode, so look forward to another 100 coming up. Until then, I am Darren Jenkins.
And I'm Chris Saunders.
And this was the Tracklist. I'll never get it correct. The day we do, we're going to shut down operations. Thanks, everyone. Talk to you soon.